here, especially our visitors. And just as a reminder, we made it 6 p.m. tonight. We'll be talking about how we ought to walk. And we touched on that subject a little bit in our class this morning. And Paul told those in Thessalonica that they ought to walk as you ought to walk. He told them, mentioned that to them in chapter 4, verse 1. And so we need to always remember that we are to walk in a worthy manner. We're to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he said, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And as we read this morning in Colossians chapter 1, we see again Paul mentions that subject of walking. And so we'll talk about that tonight in verse 9 and 10. He says, "For this cause, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, the desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So we'll talk about walking as we ought to walk, or walking worthy as the Lord would have us to walk, referring to our manner of life, how we live our lives here on this earth. But this morning I want to talk about what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. He said that we need to praise God and give Him thanks. We need to give thanks in everything. Going back to verse 16, Paul said, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So he said, give thanks in all things. We'll talk about that. That means all things and everything. Whatever a lot of life, whatever the world or life throws at us, we're to give thanks. The psalmist said in Psalm 100, beginning at verse 1 of Psalm 100 through verse 5, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness," or that is rejoicing that we can serve Him. "Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and we are not, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." We'll talk about that. He said, "Enter the, into His gates with thanksgiving, and to His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." So we're recipients of the last days, the truths that He's revealed to us, the generation that we live in. So we see what the Lord has blessed man from the time that He made this earth. And He continues to do that. So Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16, he said, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to you." We're reading from the American Standard verse or version. So Paul told the Philippians to rejoice over in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. He said, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length ye have received your thought from me, wherein ye did indeed take thought, but lack opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state therein to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound in everything. And in all things have I learned the secret of both to be filled and to be hungry, both to abound and to be in want." And he said in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." That word rejoice means to be glad, be delighted. You know, the idea that the Christian is a happy, a glad, a delighted person because Jesus has provided forgiveness of sins and hope of heaven. So we see when we sing, people who sing, they're rejoicing. They're glad. you can tell when someone is not very thankful because they don't sing. They just sit there. Their lips might move a little bit, but when people sing, this is an expression of our delight, our joy, our rejoicing. So we all, therefore, must rejoice. Even in times when it's difficult, he said, we're to rejoice in everything. He said, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's will that we rejoice in everything. When times are good, when times are bad, when it's difficult, when it's easy. Why? Because we have the hope of salvation. We rejoice for that reason. And thereby we give thanks to the Lord in all things, whether they be perceived as good or bad by the world. Because that's the will of Christ. Jesus to us. And God's will, His desire that His people be glad or rejoice and give thanks to Him in whatever state of life we find ourselves. We should thereby have a prayerful disposition of praying without ceasing, giving thanks. Even when the preacher is stepping on your toes, give thanks. Be glad it's not the Lord stepping on your toes. Be glad it's not the Lord who's rebuking you. Be thankful that God's word is a warning, that preachers are striving to save your soul. And that's my intent, is to encourage us to do what God says to do. Sometimes people get mad. I've been in discussions with preachers and have a study each Tuesday morning. We have about 10 preachers studying together, and we study various subjects. This was one of them we studied here recently. One preacher made the statement that he has people who come up and hug him after he has given a lesson of rebuke, thanking them for rebuking them. I hadn't thought about that. They said, I'm glad I needed that lesson. Some get mad and won't even talk to him. The people that are like that, that get mad at the preacher, they're not thankful. He said, be thankful in what? Everything. Good times, bad times. So we need to be mindful of that. So giving thanks, what does that do? What does that do for us? So giving thanks is important. You know, giving thanks brings joyfulness of heart. As we noted in verse 16, he said, rejoice evermore. It's coupled with prayer. It's to be ongoing. Prayer is to be without ceasing. So it's coupled with thankfulness expressed through praying to God. And he said, pray without ceasing. Don't cease praying. Always let prayer be part of your disposition and part of your daily routine. It's commanded of God. And so when we approach God, we need to approach God through Jesus Christ. Paul told the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3. He said in verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, through Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6 and 7, He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. We need to approach God through Jesus. And that is said here, isn't it? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it's coupled with prayer. It brings joyfulness. It's commanded by God. He said to do that. He says, this is the will of God that we give thanks. We must give thanks. And it must be given for all things to Christ that concern us. Whatever state we're in, whether good or bad, we'll talk about those things as we go through this lesson. So the question is, do we give thanks? Now, do we give thanks when things are not going so well? Do we give thanks when the preacher rebukes us? When the Word of God rebukes us? Sometimes we read certain sects of Scripture and rebuke us. Do we give thanks for that? If we don't, we should. So we need to give thanks. You know, why give thanks? You know, when was the last time you told someone thank you? You ever thought about that? You ever asked that question?
Do we thank our Bible class teachers, our song leaders? No, the unreligious and society generally are not thankful. In Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, Paul talked about the sins of Gentiles. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We're without excuse to not believe that there is a higher power, that there is, and God exists. And he said in verse 21, he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, Paul said. See, being thankful is commanded, as we noted in our text. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's just God's will that we do that. We need to be thankful because it brings rich benefits and blessings to our lives. We'll talk about that. And in the Hebrew letter, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, he says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to Him. For those who do not give thanks, live lives darkened and will stand down in anguish, anxiety. Notice what Paul said again in verse 21. He said, because of Romans chapter 1, verse 21, he said, because that when they knew not God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. So those are a few reasons why we need to give thanks. But think about this. You know, thanks or thankfulness brings blessings, the blessing of faith. You know, we have faith. We have faith that God is caring for us. And we know that faith comes by hearing. The Bible teaches that God cares for us. He says He will never leave us or forsake us. The psalmist said in Psalms 101, verse 107, he says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. We talked about mercy Wednesday night. We talked about how mercy is something that some treatment that we deserve but we don't get, and God shows us mercy. For instance, the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. The gift of God shows mercy to Jesus Christ the Lord, He said in verse 23 of Romans chapter 6. Verse 8 and 9, He says, oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. So God's word fills our souls if we allow it to be. Verse 22 and 23, He said, let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing, that they go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. See, the Lord is in control of everything. And we need to be thankful, realizing that He is in control of all things. Then in verse 31, it says, oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. So He has great power. He's exercised His power through time. So we see where He cares for us. God is in control of all things. Now, we're sheep of His pasture. Go back to Psalms 100. Notice verse 3, he says. Psalms 100, verse 3, he says, know ye that the Lord, He is good. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 79, verse 13, he says, so we, the people and sheep of Thy pasture, will give Thee thanks forever. We will show forth Thy praise
to all generations. We know that Jesus talked about Him being the good shepherd over in John chapter 10. And so He gave His life for the sheep, He talked about. But in verses 27 to 28, notice this. He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." We see where God, through Jesus, cares for us. We have that assurance. And without faith, we fail to thank God for the ultimate gift of His beloved Son. Paul spoke to the Corinthians that this gift is the unspeakable gift. The gift you can't describe fully. That is the gift of the Son. So that should be the basis of our thanksgiving. Because God has so thankfully blessed us, and we need to be thankful for that. See, we can have the blessings of a joyful life. We can rejoice together. Again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, He says, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Everything give thanks for. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." See, joy and thankfulness go together. The psalmist said in Psalms 97, verse 10, notice, it says, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the soul of the saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light a stone for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks to the remembrance of His holiness." Remember the blessings He's provided for us. Are we thankful for that? You know, joy and thankfulness also go together, as we noted. So, do you give thanks for your job? You ever thought about that? Every man, he said in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, did every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth and has given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion to rejoice in his labors. He says, this is a gift of God. Do you give thanks for your mate, your husband? In Ecclesiastes, or your wife, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9, he says, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor, which thou takest under the sun." Or we give thanks for the days that we have in our life, of our life. And Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 9, he warns the young. He said, "But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that come is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into goodness." So you're in the goodness, no matter how we walk. He said in the next chapter, verse 12, he says, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth." So he's warning the young. A lot of people that are young, they think they have life on a string. They think their days are without number. But the psalmist said in Psalms 90, verse 12, he says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." If you have a handout, those scriptures, some of those scriptures are not on there, you can write those down. But we're to number our days. We're to realize our days can be cut off in a snap. We're to value our days. So are we thankful for every day that we've had, the good days and the bad days? You know, in the last 2 years, we've had some bad days. I was having some bad days when I was in the hospital. I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. But I was thankful because if there hadn't been the care that I received, I wouldn't be here. There's some things I didn't even think about regarding medical care and all the medical technology that we have now available to us. And George and I were talking about this last night, that when people, nowadays they get something, it's pretty much treatable, most of it, in some cases. They extend your life. It may not cure you fully, but it extends your life. Well, it used to be that you just died. Didn't have the things that we have today. I was thankful that they had all the little gadgets and electronic devices to pump that remdesivir into my veins to help me get over this virus that I have. And all the lab technicians and all that they did, they were drawing blood out of me every day and felt like a pincushion. But made me realize that there were things I didn't think about in the past. And I was thankful that we have all this technology that we have today in the medical field. So blessings of a joyful life. We can be rejoicing. We should rejoice. Give thanks for all these things that we have, for the days that we have. Remember, every day that we're here, God gives us another day to repent. Serve Him, to do what's right. We need to be thankful for the blessing of a contented life. And there's a correction I made in the slides on yours. I'll show you what the correction will be. But contentment should be, is not just the life of Jesus. Your version says contentment is the life of ease. I forgot the nod. But contentment is not just a life of ease. It's satisfaction in the circumstances you are in, whether good or bad. Think about that. And Paul went through all sorts of trials. He told the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10, I read this earlier. He said, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me flourisheth again. Wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want," notice Paul said, "for I have learned in whatsoever state or whatever conditions I'm in or whatever the situation is to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full, to be hungry, to abound, and to suffer need." He said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." See, God gives us the strength. So whatever our circumstance is, we need to be thankful. Now when you're feeling down out, when you're receiving the wrath of someone that is unhappy with you, be thankful. It's only going to last a little while. It's going to end. Be thankful. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 92, he said unto me, when Paul was talking about his thorn in the flesh and the infirmities that he had, he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee," he said, the Lord told him. He said, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest on me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We go through all sorts of challenges. Just be thankful. Be thankful in all things. You know, anxious people, they can't express thankful in their anxiety. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "Be careful, or don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Don't be anxious. He said, "But in everything, then by prayer and supplication, go to God." In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He says, take no thought. They'll be anxious for tomorrow. A lot of people worry about things that never happen. They worry about things they can't fix. He says, for tomorrow, we'll take God for the things of itself. He says, sufficient as of the day is the evil thereof. There's so much to worry about. We just run ourselves ragged by worrying about stuff that's trivial. You don't let the world get you down. Don't be caught up in the affairs of life. But he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things should be added unto you. Don't be anxious. When you're anxious, you can't be thankful. You know, thanks breeds hope and optimism, not anxiety, as we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. In verse 13 of Philippians chapter 4 again, he said, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So when we focus our attention on spiritual things, that's what we should be contented in. Even though our lifestyle might not be as good as someone else's, even though we might be going through a difficult situation, could be a health situation, any number of things, loss of a family member, loss of a job. We've all been through something that concerned us. Don't get caught up in it. Do what you can about it, but don't let it drag you down. Then there is the blessing that comes of giving. In Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse, or 20, beginning at verse 34, Paul said, yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and the them that were with me. So Paul worked to help others. He said, I've showed you all things, how that soul laboring, you ought to support the weak. To remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So, are you thankful? You can work and provide for yourself and others, or have the means whereby to do so. Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, he said, let him the soul steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands of things which is good, that he may have to give to them that need it. Are we thankful for what we're given? Are we thankful that we have a way to provide for ourselves? And generosity, when practiced, brings unexpected blessings. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9, Solomon said, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. And then in verse 21, chapter 21, verse 13, says, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. So God is supreme. He's the supreme example of giving. He gave us his son. He's a model of forgiveness. And we need to emulate his gift, but we can't. See, we got to appreciate it. And Paul told the Ephesians, for by grace you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John 3, verse 16, as we're all familiar with, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, when Peter preached on Pentecost, and they said, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is the gift of the Holy Ghost? Is it the Holy Ghost itself? No. It's the gift of salvation that the Holy Ghost gives. It's the gift the Holy Ghost gives. He said, for this promise is unto you, and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord your God. He's talking about the Abrahamic promise, the promise of, it was available to all nations. The promise of benefits by being a Christian, by taking part in the blood that Jesus shed for us. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, he said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is
eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Paul said, or James said in James chapter 1, verse 17, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, God the Father. With him is no variables, neither shadow of turning. So Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit are all involved in the creation. So we see where we have physical light, we have artificial light, we have natural light, the sun, moon, and stars, and we have spiritual light. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. A lot of lights, aren't there? And gratitude, looking at the other side of this, sin increases when we're not thankful. Ingratitude often repays good with evil. So Nehemiah, he recounted the blessings that God bestowed upon the children of Israel. And he reminds the children of Israel how God blessed them and they weren't thankful. In verse 13 of Nehemiah chapter 9, he says, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gavest them right judgments and true laws and good statutes and commandments and madest known unto them the holy Sabbath and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. And gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock of their thirst. And promised them that they should go in and possess the land which thou hast sworn unto them. But notice verse 16. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hardened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of the wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks. And in their rebellion, appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsooketh them not. God showed them mercy. As we studied last Sunday night, and Aaron made the calf. He told Moses to get down off the mountain. He said, this stiff-necked people has turn quickly from me. He was ready to kill them all, even Aaron. But Moses pled with him and he showed mercy. They deserved to die. Over Luke chapter 6, the text is there. He would that men should do to you, do also to them likewise. For if he loved them which loved you, what thanks have you? What kind of thankfulness is that? He said, for sinners who love those who love them, if you do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have you? What kind of thankfulness is that? For sinners also do even the same. And if he lend to them whom he hoped to receive, what thanks ye have? He said, for sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much gain. He said, but love ye your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward will be great. You shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful. You see those that are ungrateful, to give God no thanks. They're deserving what they get. See, ingratitude is a display of pride and arrogancy. And ingratitude is proud, it's arrogant, rather than being humble and gracious. And when Jesus told the parable of the great supper in Luke chapter 14, he said in verse 11, he said, for whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. He told them, don't invite people who can repay you. Invite those who can't to your supper. Isn't that what Jesus did regarding us? We can't repay. There's no way that we can repay. Repay for the gracious thing that he's done for us. It's a gift.
the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's nothing we can do. There's no work that we can do. Whatever to pay for that. We need to humble ourselves for His Word. Ingratitude displays self-centeredness. Ingratitude is selfish and rude, demanding, and not generous, and not thoughtful of others. James said over in James chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, he said, "But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Wisdom, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, senseless, devilish, sensual or natural. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work," he said. Thankfulness looks outward. Ingratitude looks inward, failing to consider and acknowledge the contributions to others have made to one's life. So do we give thankfulness? Do you thank the one who taught you the gospel?
If you could.
Now, some that taught us the gospel, they're already died and gone. But do you give thanks for that? We can thank God for that person. When we're talking about thankfulness, the best example is Jesus. So we need to consider the mind of Christ, the mind that He had. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, Paul says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, you should be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." He said, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." He said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." He describes this mind. He said, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto even the death of the cross. He said, wherefore God also has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth." There is an example. Do we have the mind of Christ? Do we have the humble mind that Jesus showed when he came from the golden vaults of heaven and came to the sin and bankrupt world and died a cruel death? And still people give and show ingratitude. Even our own brothers show ingratitude when they fail to worship, when they leave God, when they don't show appreciation or thankfulness to their brethren who go to them and try to encourage them to do what's right. Many are bitter. They're embittered. They're ungrateful. So sin increases when you're not thankful. See, ingratitude is shown by murmuring, complaining, and bitterness. This is illustrated by the Israelites. You ever seen complainers be thankful? Complainers can't be thankful. They only see what's wrong. In Numbers chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "And the people were as murmurers speaking evil in the ears of Jehovah. And when Jehovah heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of Jehovah burnt upon them, burned among them, and devoured in the uttermost part of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and Moses prayed unto Jehovah, and the fire abated, and the name of the place that was called Terebiah, because the fire of Jehovah burned among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them lusted exceedingly. And the children of Israel lusted," or they wept rather, "again, and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the flesh, the fish, which we did eat in Egypt, for naught, for the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the hens, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all to save this man to look upon." So when they're in the wilderness, they were moaning and complaining and murmuring. And Paul makes reference to that over in 1 Corinthians 10, not to be murmurers. sin is a murmuring is a sin. The Lord took care of him, the psalmist. Said he gave him angels' food. You ever read Psalm 78? He gave him angels' food. In Psalm chapter 78, beginning at verse 24, it says, had rained down manna on them to eat and gave them the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat upon them like the dust, referring to the feathered friends, the quail. You ever ate quail? It's about the best food you can get. It's better than chicken. I'd take a quail over a chicken any day. They complained about it. It's delicious white meat. If you've never had quail, you haven't had some good food. Quail. They were given manna from heaven. They complained about it. All they saw what was wrong. The psalm said it was angel food. Verse 27 says, he also rained meat upon them like the dust, feathered fowl, like the sound of the seas. I've gone quail hunting and fixed great effort to get a quail. You have to have a shotgun, and they were all over the ground. They were like the sand of the sea, covered, the ground covered with them. But they didn't have shotguns in those days. And he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings. So they ate and were filled. He gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving. But while their food was still in their mouth, the wrath of the God came upon against them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice of Israel and smite. In spite of all this, they still sinned and did not believe in the wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. When he saw them, they sought him and they returned and sought earnestly for God. In Numbers chapter 24, beginning at verse 4, he says, and then they journeyed from Mount Hor to the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, they asked. For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. They look at the manna from heaven as worthless. Many today look at the manna of heaven, referring to God's word, the words of Christ, as worthless. Ungrateful. They murmur and complain. You know, is murmuring, complaining a part of you? Do you have bitterness in your heart? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 and 31, he says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, he said, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against anyone or one another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you rich in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, sing with grace your hearts to the Lord. And in verse 17, he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Being thankful and ingratitude is a terrible thing. And ingratitude is shown by murmuring and complaining and bitterness. Do you complain? What do you complain about? You complain about your job, or are you grateful you have one? Even if it's a job you don't like. I've worked in some jobs I didn't like. There's some uncomfortable days, but I had a paycheck. Are you thankful for your health? And be glad we have health care. A lot of times, back in the 40s and 50s, they didn't have the health care we have. People just died when they had some of the problems that we see people deal with today. Are you thankful for your children? Remember, they're a heritage to the Lord. He said, all children are inherited from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Are you thankful for your Christian duties? Remember, blessings bring obligations. And Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice always the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Are you thankful for the Lord's church that he bought? Remember, you're a part of it, but it belongs to Jesus, not you. He added us to it. Are you thankful for that? Are you ungrateful for that? Do you show ingratitude towards these blessings that we have? Ingratitude views others with jealousy and envy. So have you seen an envious or jealous person who is full of joy and thanksgiving? Have you? Now, such a person needs a taste of the graciousness and favor God shows in this life. And put away such sin and evil attitudes and actions. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, he said, therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. He said in verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. What does that mean? When we taste something, we've experienced it. You ever had somebody hand you a piece of candy? Have you ever had one of these? You ever tasted one of these? And go, I know what that tastes like. You've experienced it. But the taste is the adulterated. It is the taste, the adulterated, pure, and genuine word of God. It's to know that God is gracious. And he's willing to bless all the salvation from the consequences of their sin. You know, Christians, with the hope of salvation through Jesus, gracious offering, look on him as that living stone, the one that we want to be attached to. Because Jesus is alive, always has been. He's compared to a stone. He's the living stone. It shows endurance. He's a stone that was rejected by men, yet elected and precious in the eyes of God. Are you grateful to him? Give him thanks. Why? Because it's commanded by God, as we noted. Identify someone today and thank him for what they've done for you. Start with God, though. And live your life with thanks in your heart for everything. Good days and bad days. Good times and bad circumstances, whatever. You'll see God's power and your faith in him work. And out in Psalm chapter 100, again, in the beginning of verse 1, he says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and the truth endures to all generations. Remember, we have thanks. The supreme thankfulness we should have is the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Paul said, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain, Lord. Be thankful. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks.
Paul said, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's the lesson. If you're in the way, accept the Lord's invitation. Thank you for being here, and we encourage you to think on the things that we talked about this morning regarding thankfulness. My healing centers, let's hear God's word, believe it, repent of their sins, turn their life away from sin, make that good confession by confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then being baptized in water to wash away their sins, and erring children of God. When we sin, we must repent and pray for forgiveness. We should all strive to endure the trials set before us, whether they be good or bad. Be thankful in all things, as we know, and be faithful in the death, so we'll be given that crown of life on the last great day. If you're in any way subject, we encourage you to come. As together we stand and sing the song that Pat has announced. Shall we stand all these things?